At my home church, Maranatha Baptist Church down in the Sissonville area, we're having a revival meeting this week, and we started the revival meeting up by having Easter service yesterday. You'll get to meet my pastor, I believe, Wednesday, Kevin Bartlett. He's a tremendous speaker, and I want you to be excited about hearing him because he's a wonderful friend, but a great man of God like your president is. I tell people everywhere I go, Dr. Anderson is one of the most godly, humble people that I've met in my life. He's very smart. He alliterates his thoughts as well as all of his scripture. And it's just a privilege being around him because he's a genuine person, a man who loves God with his whole heart. And the reason we're having this campaign at our church is because we missed out on a lot of things. We missed Easter in the church. And Mother's Day and Father's Day, we have a special program every year for the children that are part of our daycare there. They get to come up on stage and do their little programs, and we have a great time together. And then there's West Virginia Day. We missed all those this year, but we're not missing them. Our new program is called Don't Miss What You Missed. And we have three pastors who make an outstanding trio in singing, and they've been singing a special song written, Don't Miss What You Missed. And so we've been having a really good time at church. And we had 157 there yesterday, and we had a marvelous time. We have a tremendous evangelist, Brian McBride, who's speaking to us now and preached two wonderful messages yesterday on Easter. Today's message is focused on one of the most outstanding and important verses of Scripture in the Bible, in my opinion. John 14:6 was our meditation verse for today. And these words were spoken to the disciples when they were going through a really tough time. They're all gathered together, and the Lord Jesus Christ is announcing to them that He's about to be betrayed. How could you betray God? And we need to think about that, because there are ways that we can do that too. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In chapter 13, He told His disciples that betrayal was coming. He told Peter that He would deny Him three times, which is about to happen in just a few hours. He's about to reveal to them that He's leaving them. This man who's been their Lord, their teacher for the past 3 years. And that's a lot of difficult news to absorb. Have you ever been around someone that you just loved and that you knew loved you, and they told you, I'm leaving you? So He tells them, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. Aren't you glad that God knows you? And He knows when we have a troubled heart. When you're in despair over something, God knows. And He wants you to know He knows. And He wants you to know that you can share that with Him. He reminds us to have faith in God, the Father, and in Him. In My Father's house, He said, are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. He reminds them that there is eternal life after this temporary life that we're living in right now. There's a lot of joyful things here, but there's a lot of troublesome things going on in our lives, aren't there? We have this coronavirus thing that has changed America more than anything in my lifetime. We have people who don't seem to be able to give you a straight answer anymore or tell the truth about things that are so important to us in our life. There's lots of lying going on. Maybe on both sides of the fence. We're in a political battle for the very heart of our nation right now. But it's not just a political battle. All of you should know it's a major spiritual battle. It's a deep one. One that we must be fighting with all our heart. And we must fight as hard as we can on our knees before a holy God, because He is the only one that can bring about the changes that we need in our lives and in America today. And he says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus comforting the disciples, he did this with truth about eternal life in a place that he is going to prepare, and the promises of his returning to receive us unto himself. As you walk around campus during the day, do you ever look up? Look up at the sky and think, "Lord Jesus, are you coming today? Will you come today?" Dr. Anderson had me counting robins last year. But let me invite you to do that. When you go out of the auditorium today, look up at the sky and tell Jesus in your heart, "Come soon. Come soon." He comforted them. And he said in verse 4, "And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." And this prompts a question. And Thomas asks a good question. In verse 5, he saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" He wants to understand. He's not trying to be smart. It seems he really wants to be with Jesus. He asks for more information so he doesn't get left behind. Thomas says, "We don't know where you're going. So how can we know how to get there?" He wants a map or directions. Someone to show them the way. Now we're going to break that down, exactly what Jesus says in response to this question from Thomas. Jesus saith unto him in verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." We're going to see that this is a very, very definite statement. It's an exclusionary statement. It's one that might prompt people all around the world today to take exception to it. How many different religions do we have in the world today? And they all think they have the way. And there are many, sadly, who may think that they're going to heaven, but they haven't done things God's way. And so they may not make it at all. In the answer to the specific question from Thomas, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" He's answered it this way: "I am." Just as he did back on Mount Sinai years before, he declared to this omnipotent truth to Moses as he was standing there. And Jesus declares those tiny words that hold such profound truth and power for all of us to hear: "I am." It is Jesus who is God and who declares that He is the way. When you or I say, "I am this" or "I am that," it's only a comment about our self-perception of ourselves. I guess that's a deja vu. My daughter will tell me I said the same thing twice. But I am a good grandpa. And I love being a good grandpa. I'm glad to be here. I am upset that I have to wear a mask. I really don't like wearing the mask. But look down in verse 8. When Jesus says, "I am," He's telling us that He is the great I Am. He is Jehovah God. Philip's request that Jesus show us the Father and it suffices us, the Lord responds in verse 9, "How have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father." Because He is God. He is holy God. He declared in John chapter 10, verse 30, "I and my Father are one." He declared to John in the book of Revelation 21:6, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end." In no uncertain terms, Jesus is assuring His disciples and you and me that He is God. He is making a declaration that is absolute. C.S. Lewis, a Christian writer from a previous century, said that because of Jesus' claims to be God, He can only be viewed in one of three ways: as a liar, as a lunatic, or as Lord. Jesus is the way. He says, "I am the way. You can trust my path. You can trust the direction that I'm going and that I want you to go." The definition of direction is a way. It's a traveled road. It's a path, a specific journey, a way that we can go. And Jesus says, if you'll follow me, you'll be going exactly the right direction with your life. He does not simply teach us the way. He doesn't just point the way. No, He is the way. And He is the only way. Jesus is saying that we can trust Him to lead us right to the place where we want to go, to God in heaven. Hebrews 10, verses 19 and 20 say, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh." I don't tell many jokes or many funny things from the pulpit. I used to say I only knew one, and I think I told it to you the last time I was here, so I won't repeat that one. But by way of illustration, Billy Graham was preaching at a time in his early ministry. He'd gone to a small town to preach a message, and he was wanting to mail a letter, so he asked a little boy on the street there where the post office was. When the boy had told him, Dr. Graham thanked him and said, "If you'll come to the Baptist church tonight, you can hear me preach. I'm going to be telling everyone how to get to heaven." The little boy kind of shrugged and replied, "I don't think I'll be there. You don't even know how to get to the post office." I know your president knows how to get there. He was just down there a minute ago. But notice Jesus says, "I'm the way." That means they're the way. There's no other way. If you see a road sign that tells you to go this way and you decide to go that way, whose fault is it? We have the truth. We have the Bible that tells us the way to go. And we have the Bible as the truth. Jesus said that He is the truth. And the Word of God, His Word is the truth. We're told in John chapter 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then later down in chapter 14, or at verse 14, "We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus says, "I am the truth." You can trust my directions. You can trust my declarations in life. "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory." Isn't it unusual how people can see something that they know is, but they find a way to say it isn't. Isn't it awful that people will attack the character of someone else just because they're in a different position, a different party? Jesus says, I am the truth. There is no other truth. He's the creator of everything. And we can say that all truth is God's truth because He created it. And He wants you and me to know the truth. In 1 John 5:20, He says, And we know the Son of God is come and hath given us understanding that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Thirdly, we have the life. Jesus says, I'm the life. He said, I'm the way, I am the truth, and now He's saying, I am the life. You can trust in my words. You can trust in my wisdom. You can trust in my power. He's the source of life. In Him was life. John 1 verse 4 says, In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. He's the giver of life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life and is not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. This life He gives is eternal life. It's life that will never end. Jesus said, I am the way, I'm the truth, I am the life. There's no other life. He that hath a son hath life, and he hath not the son of God hath not life. Jesus said, I'm the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And then there's the end of this verse. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I want you to notice that it says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other way to heaven. There is no other salvation. There's no other way for you to have the joy of knowing that you're going to heaven except through Jesus Christ. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In order to have a relationship with God, in order to go to God after this life, you must recognize the way, the only way, and that's Jesus. You must respond to the truth, and that's Jesus. You must receive the life, and that's Jesus. Our Lord answers not just Thomas' question. He answers the three great questions of humanity. How can I be saved? Jesus says, I am the way. You must respond to that. How can I be sure? Jesus says, I am the truth. How can I be satisfied? Jesus says, I am the life. Remember the context here. Jesus is comforting His disciples by telling them about the place He is going to prepare and promising them that He would come back one day to get them and to take them to that special place. He's going to do that for you and me. The Bible uses a lot of different words to describe heaven. It's called a country, indicating the vastness of heaven. It's called a city, indicating the large number of inhabitants. A kingdom, indicating there is a governing structure to it. It's called paradise, indicating its beauty and desirability. Of all the words to describe heaven, Jesus says it here, that it is my Father's home. My Father's home. And that means to us that it is home. It's home for me. It's home for you if you've trusted Him as your Savior. And if you want to go to heaven, if you want to be in a right relationship with Holy God, you must believe the truth that Jesus is the only way. Here at a Bible college, you would think that everyone would know who Jesus Christ is. that all of you, I trust, you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But if you haven't done that, without the way, I want you to know the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no going. Without the truth, there's no knowing. And without the life, there's no living. You must go Jesus' way. He is the only way. He tells us, the Bible tells us that everyone's a sinner. For the wages of sin is death. For all has sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So how do we deal with that? God committed His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us on the cross of Calvary. He provided the way for you. If you haven't trusted Jesus as your Savior, let me ask you to think about the answers to those three questions today. And Jesus' response that He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life. You can receive the gift of salvation today by just bowing your head, telling the Lord Jesus Christ that you believe what He tells you, and ask Him to save you. And according to His Word, at that moment, you become His child, a child of God. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. God bless you all. And if that question is still burning in your heart today, I hope that you'll bow your heart and your head to Christ and trust Him as your Savior. He's worth trusting.